Hey guys, before we start today's episode, please subscribe. We'll hit the thumbs up button. Continue to grow the show. Yeah, welcome to episode 322. I think episode 322. Can't even keep track of the shit anymore, you know? I'm a one-man band over here. Welcome to episode 322 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, recording this on January 17th. Yeah, January 17th, 2025 for the archives. Yeah. I gotta say, man, there's this heavy criticism on big mega podcasts, right? So on the Joe Rogan podcast, they do this Protect Our Parks. And I don't know what it is with, we live in this highly critique, we criticize like the fraternization, the entitlement and all this stuff that comes with this. And there's legitimately people that complain about a 5-hour episode that's free. I know it's not free because, you know, people have to deal with the ads or whatever. And I'm tired of these comment sections complaining about ads and ads. Like, it sucks. I get it. It's not the most enjoyable experience. And people are saying like, oh, you may... You know, apparently there's no such thing as enough money. It's like, yeah, because you would allow the same shit, you know. And it's weird that people are complaining about something that occupies your time for 5 hours. You get to listen, watch whenever the hell you want to. People still find something to complain about. We just live in a highly complaining culture. And look, I mean, whether it's your type of show, like if you think like, this is the problem with America. People are getting paid probably like hundreds of thousands of dollars, $1 million an episode or whatever. And all they're doing is just sitting around getting drunk and shit. Like, that just shows how unfair society is. It's like, you really spent time commenting on something that you don't enjoy. That you complain about too many ads. Well, there's a reason why they got a shitload of ads. Because a shitload of people watch it. I don't know, man. Like, you know, you get these podcasts and critiquing commentary channels. And I'll admit, I enjoy it. I like them. I watch Podcast Cringe or Too Lazy to Try and stuff like that. It doesn't mean there's not merit. But to dedicate a whole 20 minutes to just critique an episode when they put out, I mean, the dude's done over like 2200 episodes of his show. To critique every episode, like to do the volume he's doing, not everything's gonna be a hit, even though those are one of my favorite episodes. I love the Protect Our Park series. It's just fascinating to me. We just have a heavy complaining culture. People want to bring, you know, privilege and stuff like that, or like, oh, you know, only being white can you have 5 people around table, you know, getting this many views and this just accepted, them saying nonsense drunk and it's accepted and fun, where if it was, you know, fill in the blank or whatever of 5 people, then it wouldn't be taken serious, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know, you know. It's just like, we're in this heavy, like, proof's in the pudding. Like, everyone's gonna watch and listen to it. Like, can we just stop complaining about everything? Yeah, I'm just so tired of complaining, man. Like, we just live in a... I just don't get what people get out of it. But yeah. Anyways, so there's a YouTuber I would like you guys to go check out. You know, I'm going to give a shout out to a YouTuber that's bigger than me. because I think there's a lot of inspiration behind it. There's this YouTube channel called Jack Morgan RLP. Red Leather Podcast, you know, keep it light, keep it loose, keep it fresh, or is it keep it fresh, keep it light, keep it loose, whatever. I've been down a binge rabbit hole, like, the past 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, And I remember when it was getting pushed on me like a year ago. It didn't have too many subscribers. I was like, yeah, whatever. I watched the video. I was like, okay, whatever. Never really came back around to it. And it's weird. It's like the algorithm knows, like, man, you know, there's certain things applying to life, you know, from an economic, like, understanding how, you know, the economy is right now, real life situations, stuff like that. And now, hopping back on the bandwagon, when he's, like, got 135,000 subscribers. I think for me personally, the point I want to talk about is, it goes to show, like, have you ever, like, with your favorite YouTubers or people you start watching, you just go to their page and you look at their oldest videos? That's, like, one of my favorite things to do because I like to see the start. I just see how long ago, what it looked like, how much they changed, the progression. And it really is, like, you know, there's a lot of people out there. A lot of this game is just about persistence, you know. And really, this kind of, like, philosophy of life, you know, something I've developed over time. If you just stick it out long enough, things will happen for you. You got to put in the work, be consistent, have that undeniable faith in yourself. But if you just keep doing it, like, good things are going to happen. And I don't know, I just like to push out, you know, another YouTuber, Jack Morgan. Check it out. I will also say, you know, I'm not a technical wizard. I was talking with someone about, like, what is my future dreams with this show? And I, like, have this great, unfathomable, unreasonable belief in myself that I really broke down to, not broke down, like, no, like, I broke, like, I actually, like, admitted for the first time to a friend of mine that I hung out with, because he's a lot more, like, not technical, but he knows more about, like, computers. He's into gaming and, you know, he's into a lot of that, like, editing stuff. So I was asking him stuff, like, you know, I really wanted to, and I told him what computer I had. He's like, oh my God, how are you still functioning? And I'm like, bro, it's a, I don't even know how to describe it. It's going. I describe, not that anyone cares, but, like, the, what you have, what I have to do, just, like, transfer a file and all this stuff, and, like, with my Google Chrome. And he's like, bruh, I'm gonna do you a favor, I'm gonna just recommend you some laptops whenever you're ready to invest. So in the near future, you know, expect a lot of changes coming in a good way. It's gonna help take the show to the next level. I'm gonna get a laptop, I'm gonna get some editing, I'm gonna get, like, the top tier editing, and I'm gonna work my ass off, learn how to do that shit, clip shit, and clips are going to take this channel to the next level. Because you know what, I've grinded long enough, I'm not burnt out, but I feel like always having, like, the articulate and have to be on your A game every day just to give your show a chance, it's very, you know, it can be a lot of anxiety. It's fun, but it can be stressful when you actually want it to be something. And I want to have that, like, podcast network. I want to have, like, that real, like, you know, have a community. I want to build a community. You know, I want to, going through these 3 to 4 years of just desolate, no views and all that stuff, and the slow buildup, I want to be there to, you know, build this show, build other shows, to introduce other people to this, have, like, a technical editing team. I want to have the whole podcast network. It's something I really care and passionate about. I guess it's real, like, I gotta get out of this, you know, you gotta get out of this funk where you get into this thing where you're just consistently doing something and you just accept the fate without taking action to really do the extra things necessary to progress it. And I'm working with what I have, but, you know, sometimes you gotta chuck up a few buckaroos to take it to the next level. But yeah. Yep. Yeah, I fixed the camera thing. Yeah, like, the last couple episodes I haven't been able to record past 30 minutes, but apparently you just file format shit. Shit fixes itself, but trying a new angle, not really working. Oh, God. Yeah, bro, I have nothing to talk about, but here I am. But, you know, I'll find some shit, you know. These kids out here, man, they be making some bops, some East Side bop, some kids bop. just landed in Brooklyn. oh, you'll see the contrast after this. Yeah. But yeah. No, you know, I do have some job opportunities on the horizon, which is exciting. It's just, it's what's fascinating to me. It's like, how much pride should you have in what you do for an income, right? Like, what is the moral deadline where it's like, if you're making less than this, put your morals to the side, you know, bust it open. And what is the opposite approach where, hey, like, you make more than enough, you don't have to continue compromising shit, you know? Should you have morals in your income? Because at the end of the day, money has no feelings. But it could cause a lot of hurt ones, if you know what I'm saying. Which, right, you know, apparently, Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, is trying to rival the NBA with a $5 billion, I guess investing $5 billion into a league to rival the NBA. Yeah, you know, it's not going to happen. I don't mean to be pessimistic. But, you know, we try this with every sport. We try it with football. We have the USFL. We have, you know, we have arena, the summer, all that, all those things. And none of it sticks. Like, it's cool. Like, it's on. Like, the big three, it's like a fun little competition. I know they're doing this thing with, like, the WNBA mixed with other, like, three-on-three shit. Or five-on-five freestyle court pickup type shit. And like, this shit just doesn't really entice people. We don't want another NBA. We just want a better NBA. Making another league is not going to create more money or revenue in competition. Like, chances are you're going to file for bankruptcy. You're going to have to work with the NBA. And who are you going to take from the NBA? Like, honestly. Like, you're going to take, like, what are you going to be able to offer? Like, let's say a really good player. You really think Damian Lillard is coming to play for a secondary league? Because even if you could offer the man, even if you could match what the Bucks pay him, right? Let's just say you can match. So you match him, but he's not going to have the immediate exposure that the NBA has. Like, new leagues, they don't have that same exposure. It's, you're going to have to pay a shitload for marketing. Like, as much as people want to bitch about and complain about sports, the NBA and pro sports, the state of it, like, we're not watching secondary sports to replace it. We're just watching less of it in general. And because there's too much access to different entertainment now. Like, people aren't complaining that we need to have a B-minus NBA. We need just the NBA to be a better version of what it is, you know, for people that are diehards of it. We don't need, you know, guys that are on roster bubble cuts getting an opportunity in the USFL just so that maybe three of them the next year may get some playing time in a game, you know, get on rosters. You know, it's not really like what we asked for, but people are going to make it more than what it is. And to me, I think it's just, we think that more and more is the answer to subpar. Like, if you have a partner, like, being with multiple other partners isn't going to make you more happy or more fulfilled. More likely. Like, you don't need more of what you already have. You just need to actually embrace and fully appreciate the one you do have. And try to find a way to make that one thing better. Put your time and energy into that. Instead of just going off elsewhere trying to create something else. And, you know, and then there's this whole TikTok thing. Like, TikTok's supposed to be banned by the 19th, but will it be banned? It's like, they say the app will be removed, but it won't be. Existing users may be able to use it for a while, but they're kind of delaying when it's a fit. I don't know. Here's the thing, right? Like, as someone who would, you know, one day want to make money in, you know, YouTube and podcasts and stuff like that, I think what people need to take into consideration is, one, is why it's dangerous to have all your income coming from one place, right? Two, long-form content will always rule king. It's where you can make the most money on ads. You don't have to put out 10 videos to make the same as 1 hour long video. You can make a lot of money. But, you know, I'm empathetic to all. Like, I'm not happy to see, you know, people crying on the internet about how they're going to lose their income. But at the same time, they're complaining about losing their income because they funded a lifestyle that is already not a sustainable lifestyle. Like, the internet, YouTube, and stuff like that, it's supposed to be a gig. It's supposed to be extra. Like, you can make good money off of it and turn it into something, but the thing itself is not what you should be basing your daily living, your mortgage off of. Anything that you have commitments like 10 years plus should not be in reliant because of your YouTube estimated revenue or your TikTok revenue. Everyone knows that. And I will say this, like, for people that are like, oh, you know, you're putting $300 billion worth of economy down the drain. You know, people are going to lose their businesses and we're not going to be able to sell eyelashes. We're not going to be able to sell beauty products. It's like, I think the world would be all right with one less beauty product business. I don't mean to be insensitive. I'm not here to knock the hustle. But a lot of these things, like, I think people feel like, the people, like, us citizens and, like, government is owed to your business to, you know, keep it afloat. And it's not really, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, but we don't need more businesses. Like, that's the problem. We live in this, like, everyone needs a business culture. Like, no, not everyone needs a, if you have one and sell something, great. But I just want you to know, we don't need more of it. We don't need more. We don't need more podcasts. We don't need more eyelash. We don't need more beauty products. We don't need more, you know, merch. Like, we don't need more of just people selling stuff that don't really contribute to nothing. Like, we're just selling products. If you were selling products, like, I don't feel bad if TikTok was your main form of income. You should have already had different places you sold it. That could have been a form, an easy form of advertisement, and you're going to have to figure something out now. Okay. But it's not the government's or TikTok's job to keep your business in place. That's a you problem. That's why when people talk about investing, they talk about diversifying your portfolio. So, once shit happens here, you're not completely fucked. That's why it's good to have multiple streams of income. Because something happens here, it's a down month, you're good. Because you have some backing. To me, we just don't need more. I'm tired of, we have to convince everyone that we need more. And I'm tired of feeling bad for people not being able to contribute more. That came out terrible. Yeah, I'm so off the rails right now. Today's sponsor, Dunkin'. Are they really sponsoring? No, because if they were sponsoring, we'd be making big bucks here. But to me, yeah, I also realized recently I have not been looking to the fucking camera. We just don't, like, to me, like, it's a privilege to own a business. It's a privilege to be able to sell and make a living for yourself doing your own thing. Like, I think people need to wrap their head around that. It is not the entitlement of customers of, it's not a customer's job or people's job to buy your products when they don't want to. If they don't feel it's worthwhile or it's not in their budget or it's just not convenient or it's just not something they're interested in, you gotta be okay with that. I'm tired of these like businesses trying to make you feel like shit for not buying their pointless products. Like, a lot of things out here are just pointless. These businesses, they're not intended to make the world better or more convenient. They are just extra. And I'll say it myself, like, and I've talked about this before. Like, to me, being a show or anything like that, and you just sell t-shirts, you sell overpriced jackets for $120, or you sell like a t-shirt made by Gildan and you put some BS logo in the left top of your chest, the size of a fucking, you know, voting sticker, and you charge $70, like, fuck you. There's not, like, that's lazy, it's plain, and that shirt is just another fucking shirt. And where you need to also be mindful of, like, these businesses that everyone cares to contribute to, what are you really contributing to? Like, this whole, like, just support creators. Like, just because you like someone doesn't mean you're entitled to buy their shit. Doesn't mean you're entitled to donate. Like, if you do donate on your own merit and they're appreciative, like, hey, man, I appreciate it. But you are not entitled. Like, these fucking people that are bitches to these streamers. It's insane to me. People will sit there and watch for 20 hours someone, you know, doing push-ups in the room just trying to entertain you. You know, it's a weird culture we're in. For me personally, I just kind of, we don't need more businesses. Like, I don't care about your desire for an LLC. If you have a business, great. I don't care if you want to sell perfume. I don't care if you want to sell cologne samples. I don't care if you want to sell another fucking frozen meal distribution, another fucking Food Fresh, another Hello Fresh, another Nutrisystem, another frozen food where you say, oh, they were made by the greatest chefs. So you really think they just have the greatest chefs in a fucking frozen kitchen just manually making these meals? No, I hate to break it to you, they don't. And the food is fine. I don't have anything against like those type of things. But let's just not pretend like we actually give a shit about, is this world making the world? Is it really making the world a better place? No, it's to make them money. And that's okay. Let's just stop like idolizing products, merch, people's businesses. They are not this precious thing unless they are actually doing precious things. Right, we can say what we want about power companies. They may overcharge you. They may fuck you over sometimes. But the service is at least doing something beneficial to everything you do. We can bitch and complain about what we want about, you know, water company. We could complain about gas stations. At least they serve a purpose. We can complain about vehicles. And there's a lot to complain out here. At least that vehicle is doing something for you. Yeah. I don't know. I'm losing my fastball, kid. The show has aged me. I'm falling downhill. Oh, Jesus. Yep. Good times. And, you know, let this episode be a measure. Like, I'll admit, this is a shitty-ass episode. But let this be a lesson to you. Like, sometimes you're going to get behind the camera, and you got nothing. Like, you are not clear-minded. You are not witty with it. You don't have much to say. You're just kind of, hey, you know, spray and pray. Half the time this works well, half the time it doesn't. But you stand on business. But, yeah. doing the step climber, I gotta say, step climber is that's a beast. The step climber reminds you, get the stepping, you lazy fuck. that's what it did to me today. I'm starting to get in that, you know, when people first start losing weight, when they're really overweight, they just get on the treadmill or elliptical or the step climber, and they're just on that shit for an hour straight, just sweating their ass off. I'm starting to go back in that mode, that 2019 mode where it's just like, shit, I'm just going to be on this bitch till I die, till literally the time limit reaches. That's how you know it's like, yep, I'm just going to keep going to the time limit. Now, there's a tenacity that it builds within you, but it also reminds you, like, man, all this work and I'm about to eat it all back in like 2 hours, you know. It's a thankless job, you know. The step climber is like being a parent. No matter how much you fight, go, no matter how fast you go, no matter you push past your limits, it's all for nothing. just one ungrateful piece of shit you are. Yeah, being a parent's got to be the most thankless job. I would say, especially like being a dad in this world. Not that I'm a dad. Being a dad has probably got to be the most thankless job in the world. You get nothing but, you have nothing but expectations. You have no margin for human error because you fuck up one time. You say one mean thing to your kid. A kid holds on to that shit the rest of their life and say, my dad always doubted me. He's like, what are you talking about? I literally got you a motivational little poster to put it above your head saying you can do anything. Yeah, but then one day you told me that I wasn't applying myself. It's like, yeah, because you weren't. Being a dad's got to be terrible. And like being a mom, like, you know, you got a long range. Like you could go down a dark rabbit hole and your kids will forgive you, you know. You know, you get hooked on drugs. You could be neglectful. You could be abusive. You could cheat on. They could cheat on your father like 5 times. You'll still have a spot in your heart for them. But if your dad is caught texting some girl in a group chat, you know, your dad ain't shit. And taking all of his money too. And his sanity. And then your dad's a bitter old guy. Like, hey, why are you always mad? It's like, you know what? Because I did everything for fucking nothing. That's what being a dad is like. so, everyone, go have kids. and, you know, I'm partially kind of joking. But when you really look at it, you know, there are more stories where, unfortunately, there are more stories out there where the dad is kind of just left on the wayside than the mother. And, I mean, some cases prove it. There are a lot of cases where there's a lot of guys that try to stay in their kid's life for the longest time, but, you know, the court systems are, you know, the situation with the mother just made it where it's like, I'm not even able to really make an impact in this kid's life. So, you know what? This is what you want. Fuck them. You know? That's a shitty thing to say, but it's unfortunate truth. Why even be a parent these days? No one can afford to be a parent. You can't afford good education. You can't afford to have a job where you make money and then actually have time to spend time with them, because you're either choosing your commitment to the job or being a good family man. Like, one income is not going to be able to keep most people in a comfortable spot living these days. That's just a reality. I know people don't want to talk about it. Like, there's a self-inflated ego about income. God damn it. Sorry about that. I turned the light off. But, Yeah, like, I don't think people really understand, like, how income and economics works, like, because you be seeing these videos, people are just saying numbers, like, I need to be with someone that makes $500,000. I just want to ask these people, you know, what, set out your financial plan of why you need the living of $500,000. That's all I ask for. And I'm not even going to tell you stuff that you don't need. People just be throwing out numbers out there without knowing what the fuck they're saying. Like, you just want $500,000. You just want to be with someone that makes $500,000 compared to $200,000 just because it sounds better. But no indication of the type of individual, the character of the person that's $500,000 compared to $200,000. Because the person with $200,000 may actually be less, maybe more unselfish to give you the things you want than the guy who makes $500,000. Because I'll be honest, if I have $500,000, I'm lying. No one's going to know I have $500,000. All right? Like, you're going to have to do some research. Like, I'll be honest, like, if I was a single man dating out here, I would never tell someone how much I make. The more I made, the less I wouldn't tell. Like, I would cap it out at, like, $80,000. And when they ask what I do, let's say I was a, let's just say I was, you know, a podcaster. I would just say, you know, I work in media. Because that's the thing. You don't even have to get detailed in what you're saying. If you just say one of the cool things, media, networking, social anxiety. Or you just say you're an organizer, you're a planner. Like, because really, when you say I'm an entrepreneur, I think drug dealer. Like no one says I'm an entrepreneur that actually has a business. You know what I mean? Like, you would just say, oh, I own blah, blah, blah. Like, just say, like, oh, I own a business. Like, you may say, I own a business. And they're like, oh, what do you own? And you would say it. Now, I'm an entrepreneur is like desire. That's why I think about it. And this whole, like, entrepreneurial mindset, it's all, you know. And there's also this thing about if you live at home when you're in your 30s, right? I don't know if you guys have seen the economy these days. And I was talking to someone, I ran into the gym yesterday, you know, he's in his, I think, mid-20s, or like, probably like 24-ish, he still lives at home, and I don't blame him one bit, and I was like, hey man, like, take advantage of it, it's not bad, he's like, actually, doing the math, because, you know, he helps his mom and stuff, he still helps pay for certain things around, he's like, honestly, I get what you're saying. It would actually be pretty much the same for me to live on my own. And I'm like, oh. But for most people, you can. But look, while I'll say, like, I don't think that stigma to someone, you know, the only people that say, like, you're pathetic if you live at home past, like, 24 are people who, you know, have a lack of self-adulation of themselves. Like, no well-mannered, understanding person would say something like that and actually, like, mean it. We live in this highly deceptive where someone thinks because they moved out of the house at 21 and they're going to be right back in there at 24. They have this self-sense, like, just because they moved out, they did something. And then they move out. They're borrowing money. They're in crazy debt. They have terrible judgment. They have no understanding of what it takes to sacrifice, to work more. The second they need to work more, they blame society or they try to get with someone that has money. They get pregnant. They end up in a worse situation. Then they get married. And then they're 29, married, get a house, can't afford it. So her and her husband move back in with their parents. Like, that's where I draw the line. That's what I will say. Here's what I'll say, right? If I have kids, Once you get married and you get a house together, like, if I have a daughter, like, it's two ways of looking at it, right? If I have a daughter, she gets married, her and her husband get a house together. Great. Let's say after like 9 months or a year, their financial troubles. You know, if I have the extra money, I might get them out for a month. I might help pay their mortgage for a month, right? But after that, hey, this is the chosen one man you chose. And unless he's broke for good reason or like it's in between some weird shit, I don't want to hear it. It's like, if you lose the house, you can move back in with me. But he ain't moving. Like, you both aren't living in my room. You both are not living in my house. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to court a married couple that are my kids. Now, let's say it's my son. Say my son got a house with a girl. And, you know, things didn't work out. Can't keep up financially, whatever. I'd be like, look. Here's what I'm going to do. You can move back in. And she can move in. But I'm going to treat you like a child. Because you didn't know how to take care of your responsibilities. Even though I showed you how not to spend your fucking money. And I'm going to go through your bank statements. Because if you're moving back into my house, I need an explanation. I don't care, you know, that whole, like, your privacy and your self-worth goes out of the fucking window. You're giving me your bank statements for the past year. I'm seeing, did you go broke because shit didn't go away, you made a few bad decisions, or did you do exactly what I told you not to do, which is live above your means when you had no business to? I want to look at your purchases, and I'm going to critique it. If you got a problem with it, you could go live in a Motel 6. I don't give a fuck. Now, I know that contradicts when I said there's no shade moving back into your parents. But I don't think there should be shade. But depending on the circumstance of why you're moving back. Depends on what happened. Depends on, did you try to live above your britches when you knew you had no business to? Despite everything I raised you to be, you know, you piece of shit, then I'm gonna be much harder, because you know what, I'm gonna have you come back home, but I'm gonna be in charge of your finances. I'm gonna go over your statements, and I'm gonna be in charge of what you spend. I wouldn't say be in charge, but I'm gonna set it. And then if you want to not be within that budget, if you want to fuck around and not properly put your money aside, or at least try to work more, or whatever you got to do. If you do not take advantage of being home, get the fuck out. And that's out of love. Because that's enabling someone. Because chances are, if you were in that situation before you got a house, and you were kicked out after a year, evicted, I probably told you not to buy a house. And that's the thing, you know. You know, we could get into how finances aren't taught in school and all that stuff. But really, a lot of this shit is common sense. It really is. It really is, like, be honest with what you make. Don't use credit cards unless you are in full control of why you're doing in payment plans. If you just don't spend what you don't have, you will avoid a lot of issues. Like, you watch some of these things, man. It's like these 25 and 26 year old couple on these financial audit shows, man. Like, they'll be $60,000-$80,000 in debt, and it won't even be mostly student debt. You look at their spending, like, you look at the shit they do. They get a house. They apply for a house, they get a house, and after they move in, they're down to like $200. It's like, first of all, if you move in somewhere with only $200 left after everything you move in, regardless of what paychecks you have coming in, you're fucked. And that's why, like, you should not buy a house in, like, when you're, I'm not saying there should be a law you shouldn't buy a house till you're like 25 or anything, but what I will say is, there's not many instances where someone gets out to 25 and it ends up well. Like, it just seems like that's not really what happens. And I guess what I'm tired of seeing is I'm tired of watching people in my age range try to do all this finesse and shit with credit, and it doesn't work out for anyone. Like, none of your credit hacks work out. This girl, to avoid overdraft fees, right? Because anytime you're under a certain amount in your account sometimes, for like more than a 24-hour span, you get, you know, for most banks, a $28 overdraft fee. Like, I've gotten a few in my life. It's not a great experience, but it's happened. It's happened to just about everyone. I'm not too big for my britches. But to avoid the $28 overdraft fee, she literally did this weird bullshit credit. She transferred car credit from her husband's credit into her account to avoid the overdraft fee. But that credit was already maxed out, that credit card, and it was gaining interest, so she was still losing money. And she would have been better taking the overdraft fee hit every day than to take the hundreds of dollars of interest she was getting hit on this credit card. And these people that are doing payday loans, like, I get it, like, sticky situations, like, they're taking 2% of your check, so you can get all of it, like, a couple days earlier, you can access it. But to me, if you can't wait a couple more days to get that check, you need to reevaluate how you're managing your money to begin with. Like, it's crazy that we pay apps to access our own money earlier, and we pay more money that we don't have to access our money that we don't have yet, just so we have permission to access our own money. We have convinced ourselves that paying to get less of our money earlier is good. That's the fucked up shit we're in right now. I'm not a finance guy. I'm really not. Because look, I don't have like investments in the traditional sense. Because what's the point of investing if you might have to take that shit out for emergencies anyways? Like, I pay some pretty extensive bill, but, you know, I pay real bills. I don't miss payments, though, because regardless of it looks like I'm a loose cannon, I'm a responsible man. And just the thing, like, there are people out here with kids, like, on these shows, is grown people in their 20s and 30s with kids. Like, if I had kids, bro, like, I wouldn't be fucking around with nothing. Like, they think I'm anal now with money, bro. Like, and to see that they're just like, ah, you know, fuck a future fund. Like, fuck, you know, having the, like, the looseness they just have, like, oh, I'm just going to keep on having a shitload of credit card debt, and, like, it's going to take me 15 years to pay this off with minimum payments. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? When did you ever take a step back and be like, hey, I don't want to use this credit card. If we don't have the money, we just can't spend it. It's just stupid to me. Like, people are stupid. And this is what happens when we try to be sophisticated. We try to live in a sophisticated society. We always think, I think here's the issue. People always have this power that they want to finesse the system. Their way of finessing the system is by attacking, by using the system that is given us, which is like credit, which is weird that we need credit to affirm our, how good we are with finances and if we deserve to be able to finance something or to pay something. Like, think of the absurdity of that. We need a third party validation that means nothing to tell us that we got to apply for and to access our own credit score that we built up with our own money, our own time, years, just to access it. We have to we either take a hit to our credit score or we pay to access our credit score with minimal amount of hits. Think about how stupid that is. But anyways, our idea of attacking this is looking at the system for what is, finding loopholes and then trying to play within that system to maximize getting the most money. And what people don't realize, the fact that you are spending so much time trying to finesse a system, you are a loss because you're worried about the system. Like, you are literally worried about trying to maximize a system that you think is BS. And you just want to maximize or try to like, oh, see, if you do this, you actually don't have to pay it back, or you don't, or it's, you don't have to pay the interest, blah, blah, blah. You actually get a better deal. You spend less money. It's like, or you could just spend the money that you have or don't have. And you spent hours of research because someone told you some shit to use an offshore Chime card. You know, people are just so stupid. Like, people don't realize, like, it's the amount of time you spent, like, thinking about something is what is going to be the difference of, you know, what you get in return. That's the real investment, the time you put in the stuff. But yeah. Oh, by the way, I created an X account. Just kind of seeing how it works. I don't know if it's going to work out too well, but we'll see. But nah, bro, X is crazy. I created an X account like earlier this week, and it is insane. The amount of people you see get just smushed by freaking freight trains, and there's so many, like, bro, X is legitimately insane. Like, you know, I've been hearing for like X is like, it's like nothing is off limits, right? Like, we know that X, it has a lot of stuff on there. There's not much that's censored. And, you know, sometimes that stuff's exaggerated. But now, dude, just like the first videos I saw, it was some guy. It's not funny. But some guy was in a warehouse. He was operating a forklift. And he lost control of the forklift. And the thing was tilting over. He jumped out. And the forklift was still up and above. And it swerved out of place. And the fucking forklift squished him in between that and another forklift. Then it went around. He was able to crawl. And then the bitch just ran him the fuck over. You see these things of people climbing buildings. Shit. People just falling splat. People getting ran over. People flying in the air getting hit by vehicles, bro. Like, these nasty. I saw some earlier. This grown man at a beach, you know, shop. Like, on the beach. A bunch of teenagers in their swimsuits. I don't know why they were fighting this security guy, but this security guy knocked out like seven teenagers. I mean, he knocked them out, and it was real. I'm like, huh, fun times. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just an odd time we live in. Ooh, my breathing is so fucked up right now. You know, I think I need to go back to starting to plan these episodes. Having actually topics ready to talk about. You know, sometimes I like to keep it light, keep it loose, keep it fresh. And then, you know, sometimes, man, like, I just don't have it. But that's not an excuse. I will say I appreciate the recent growth. It's not a lot of growth, but it's at least progress. Like, to me, all I care about right now is progress. Like, to see the analytics, you know, I check them here and there. It's like, okay, people are starting to view. It's starting to get a little bit more traction to my channel, which is nice. It's a weird algorithm, because typically the algorithm is like the first day that you post is when you're gonna get the most. For me, the first day will be pretty meh, and then like day and a half, 2 days in is when they start rolling in. Like, I have one video that's at 90 views in 3 or 4 days, and one about homelessness and stuff. Like, I think it's because it's almost like the universe. Like, I notice, like, the ones I have like a passionate take about to start out. It's like the universe, like, when you go into some past, it makes it easier to create the title. People gravitate to someone. People feel like that title is, like, going to spark some enthusiasm, you know? It's like, man, I can tell they made this shit with a purpose, you know. And this other one, like, it's starting to get a little bit of something. Like, you know, I think that's all. Like, people just want progress. And to see progress, it keeps going forward a little bit, you know. More easier to gauge and stuff. So, yeah. I think overall, just enjoy what you're doing. And everything will take care of itself, you know. My goal one day is I want a Often Beat podcast network. I know the show, you know. I have faith in it. I just got to get back into really diving into what I want the show to kind of reinvent the show. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like I've gotten a little bit too serious lately. I need to find that balance of, you know, getting my humor back. Just kind of getting myself, you know, in order. Not that I'm out of order, but, you know. But, yeah. Just kind of getting myself in order. Because, you know, I want that, like, I remember when Joe Budden, he created his Joe Budden Podcast Network a few years ago. Like, when it was the Joe Budden Podcast, and it was, like, near the end of the Rory Mal run, which I will say, like, I think the Joe Budden Podcast with Rory Mal is really what, like, made me, like, I don't know what, like, somebody listening to that show, it really, like, inspired me, like, bro, like, I think that is the only podcast that I legitimately waited. I think it was, like, every Monday. I don't remember the days. It was, like, Monday, was it Tuesday, Friday? It was, like, Tuesday and Saturday or Monday and Thursday. I forgot that, but that is the only podcast to date that I legitimately wait for episodes to drop. Like, I'll literally be waiting, like, 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning when they had the Spotify deal. I remember being at work, and it would be, like, the best part of the day. I'll listen to podcasts, drive around, do my deliveries, and they just had, like, the perfect combo. And, like, that energy and that vibe, like, that's all I wanted when I created, like, my first version of the show that I did with a couple friends. Like, that was a vibe. Like, it is just, they talk about it, they open it up, fucking around, and then they lead into some topics, and sometimes it gets serious, sometimes it's fucking around the whole time. Like, they just had this great energy towards it. And then he created, like, the podcast network where you, like, see the thing is, and then, you know, a few other shows that didn't necessarily work out, but is like, you can either, like, invest in all these different shows, but I think what Joe ran into was when other people, when it's your thing, like, your vision, and you try to expand your vision to invite others to come in it, when people don't match that same intensity or energy, or they just think that, oh, you just come in and get paid and fuck around, like, and look, podcasting, it could seem like that, but when you are investing it, you know, the time, the preparation that you mentally prepare for, the excitement, and when you invite others into that thing that you built, and they're kind of treating it all about numbers and business, and they're worried about the business part instead of just enjoying the actual thing, and the business will take care of itself. And I think that's why he got frustrated with, like, Bridget and Mandy, and then whatever the other shows were, like, you know. And then, it, you know, and I love Rory Mal, but I'll be honest, like, I don't really listen to Rory Mal anymore. Like, I still enjoy them, but I don't know, you know. At first, it's weird because after the split happened, I was pro Rory Mal side. I was like, I'm going to go to where they're at. And I still listened to Joe here and there during that time, but I was going to give them the full support at the beginning, and then they kind of stalled out a little bit. I kind of listened to Joe's clips a little bit more, and then now it's kind of like, I don't listen to full Joe Budden podcast episodes, but, you know, they're still in the algorithm for clips and stuff. You know, you still catch a few things. It's just a whole different show that I don't really enjoy as much. It's just too many people. I don't think podcasts are meant to have like 6 or 7 people on a panel talking at a time. It kind of makes it, it's hard to focus on like people's point of views when everyone's just kind of over talking everyone personally. But, you know, that's just a personal preference. But like, I want that network thing. And I think Joe, he will do that again where he has like these other shows and stuff like that. But, you know, I think a wake-up call is like when you're the ringleader, you're the voice, when you're the face of it. Like, you are, when you're the face of it, it's really hard. It's like when you're the owner of a company, like, you can't expect everyone that you bring in to have the same passion or the same commitment to the job as you. But they still need to come in and do what they have to do and need to do to help the business grow. Otherwise, they're kind of liable and it kind of pisses you off. It's like, you guys are getting paid very well to come in and do this. And you guys have to just come in, sit down, be ready to conversate, be ready to be interesting, entertaining, and that's that. So, yeah. That's my goal. Like, I just need to get my mind back in it. I need to start preparing more, you know. I think that's where, like, I don't know, you know, I got to find that balance. Like, I loved how I used to do this. I know this is kind of inside. No one listens at this point. But for new people, like, if you look back at my old, like, I used to have very, like, specific things. Like, I would review when Drake would drop out. I wrote the whole podcast, reviewing song by song, giving rating. I wrote the shit down. Like, I had talking points. I had pen and paper. That's how much I prepared. And it was exciting. And now, you know, it's just different, you know. I wouldn't say I don't have the time, but I have the interest to be doing all that for something that is not even making an income yet, but I still enjoy it. It's like, but what's really the point, you know? Because a lot of this algorithm stuff is about topics. It's about, you got to find that balance of, I could do something that's popping now and it'll get a pop, you know, for whatever your standard for your channel of views. But after 4 or 5 days, like, it's not going to have that quote unquote what they call evergreen content, where it can stand the test of time, where people may click on it a year from now, because it could be something that's general, could be something just a decent critical thinking thing. But if it's topical, you run the risk of it basically being hot for a couple days and then non-existent. And if you're looking for long-term income, you know, you got to be able to either, you got to kind of choose, well, if I'm going to do topical stuff or podcasts where I'm talking about current things, you know, I've got to be pumping out shit all the time to stay relevant in the algorithm. But if I do like a deep introspective commentary video that's heavily produced and edited, that could be easily enjoyed today as it can be 4 months from now, 2 years from now. Like, you know, that's a decision you got. And I got to find a way to balance that, where, because sometimes I think I'll be honest, like, sometimes I think that just me showing up is good enough, but it's not. I know, like, episode like this, I'll admit it's dog shit. But you know what? I'm going to stick it through. Because I haven't had an hour-long podcast in a long time. You know? Yeah, I did this just to hit the hour-long mark. Even though it's dog shit. This episode is dog shit. I was be like one of the streamers that just stay until that just stay on stream until they hit their sub mark. With those subathon things, like, it's cringe. I don't watch streams and stuff like that. But these subathons, it's kind of like, whoa. You're really just staying on so people subscribe. It doesn't even seem genuine. I don't think that's where, like, you build a real audience. But, you know, if it works, it works, you know. I'm not going to shade on it. God, my balls urge. But, yeah. I think I'm going to put a bow on it there. What if? Yeah, I think that was episode 322. Yeah, episode 322 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, most important ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, the hour-long mark. Not an episode that was all that great, but you know what? We did it. We did it. We did it. Hey. All right, guys, have a great day, morning, night, evening.